KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th. Information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Portland Japanese Garden, celebrating its 50th anniversary with the Hironita, the three-string samurai on the shamisen, Wednesday, October 16th at the Portland Art Museum's Grand Ballroom. Tickets and information at pam.spotlightboxoffice.com.
I'm Demi Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to some very peppy and happy music and celebratory music from Corrido Calavera, and that's the new Day of the Dead play at Milagro Theater. We'll talk with Artistic Director Olga Sanchez and Guest Director of the play, Joaquin Valdez. And then later, Michelle Fuji checks in about Making Waves 2013. Portland Tyco is collaborating with an LA-based Tyco hip-hop group called On Ensemble this weekend. So stay tuned. Let's hear more music. This is Stage and Studio. So I suspect there's lyrics to that song. Is that right, Joaquin? You want to sing a little bit of it? Nah, he doesn't. Okay, I'm Dime Roberts. With me in the studio are Olga Sanchez.
Good morning. Hi, Dime. Good morning.
Artistic Director of Milagro Theater. And with her is Director Joaquin Valdez. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
From Milagro Theater's Dia de los Muertos show, Corrido Calavera. Welcome both to Stage and Studio. Now, I have to ask you, what does Corrido Calavera mean? Anybody want to tell me?
Sure. Well, corrido. Okay. Corrido.
See, I can't say that.
Corrido. Yes, you can.
Corrido.
Okay. Corrido is a song form made popular during the Mexican Revolution.
Yes, I do remember that.
There you go.
You're jogging my memory.
Right? It's in essence, it's a story form. It was originally created to tell the stories of the heroes of the revolution. I don't know if you want. It's used all sorts of ways now. And then, of course, calavera. Means skeleton or skull.
I thought it might be like cadaver. Right. All right.
Yeah.
All
well, it's not the corpse. It's the bones.
It's the bones.
Right.
And say it again, calavera.
Calavera.
I just love it when you say it. Say the whole name again.
Corrido Calavera.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that lesson. And, you know, every time I have you on, I learn something new. And that's what I love, you know, about Milagro, too, because it really is. I mean, it's the largest Latino theater group. Performance group in the Northwest, yeah. Professional.
In five states, absolutely.
In five states.
Yeah.
We're counting five states now.
Well, I've counted it as, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, I think Nevada.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go that far. Yeah, I'm going to be so bold.
Far reaching.
Way.
Anybody in Nevada listening
I'm not sure if
right
that's
now,
Northwest, but yeah. I mean, let us know.
Tweet
yeah.
me at sure. Stage the Letter N Studio if you have one larger than Milagro Theater.
But, you know, the work is seeding out there and it's growing, but Milagro celebrates its 30th anniversary this season.
I know that, and I wanted to congratulate you on
that
because it's such a great theater, and you do so much work, and you do touring, so it's very far-reaching. But to have
so Jose Gonzalez and Danielle Milan,
they have kept
the
at it, they have grown it, and it's just paid off, you know, for everyone, including not just the performers and the audiences, but just being able to have this in Portland, you know, in of itself for the community. So what better way to celebrate than a festive day like the Day of the Dead celebration? Because it is festive, Every time I've seen a Milagro Day of the Dead show, it's almost like you've entered someone's parlor and you're having the celebration of this very special holiday. So the Day of the Dead shows, it's been traditionally rousing and festive with music, dance, and theater. And this year, you have come to Portland, Joaquin Valdez, to create Corrido Calavera. And did you both collaborate on this play together, or is this a play that you've had and that you're mounting here in Portland?
Well, like most of the Day of the Dead shows done at Milagro, it's collaborative. It's what's referred to as a devised work. So that means everyone has a stake in it. Everybody has a hand. Some of the ideas behind the narrative and, of course, music, you know, all
the
scenic
ensemble,
elements, everything.
Everybody.
It's a world premiere.
It's a world premiere.
So it has never been seen before, and it is definitely fresh and brand new. And these celebrations, it's really an act of faith. And usually Day of the Dead is rooted in tradition. It is a celebration of life through death, but also an opportunity for us to invoke the spirits, to actually welcome them back home, essentially. And of course, the theater is a great place for them to gather. You know, there are a lot of ideas behind what it means to invite the spirits into the theater. You know, as people come in, patrons and audience members who actually go and participate in the act of theater, there is an exchange. You know, a natural one that is all energy. It's a vibration that's exchanged from the audience to the performers, from the performers to the audience, the artists who are actually in the creative process, you know, from the moment of its inception. And it's a potent energy that most of us who have the opportunity get to experience and can walk away from with an immense sense of self-awareness and love for the work that we do. You know, I think we all appreciate seeing ourselves on stage and our realities. And what's so great about this production is that it's really an extension of a long tradition in history within the Americas that is continuing to grow. You know, most people fear death, and this attachment to our material form is something that I think we still continue to struggle with. But as we begin to find ourselves with a new way of thinking about who we are in terms of the spiritual realm, you know, Day of the Dead is an opportunity for us to see ourselves, you know, through others.
And it's good that you have noted that, you know, it's a way to celebrate it and not to be afraid in this time that I feel like we're living in, where there's so much fear in our country right now. It's great to know that there's something that's saying, you know, dispelling some of that fear. You know, and I think this is a great way to do it. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts talking with Joaquin Valdez and Olga Sanchez of Milagro Theater. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, one of the great traditions around Dia de Muertos is the belief that we are being reunited with our dead. And in that way, there's nothing to fear from death because, in essence, love has conquered it. Our desire to be with our loved ones, our memories of them, our remembrances of them through building an altar, through hosting a party like a show, in essence, is a way of keeping them alive, alive in our hearts, alive in our memories, and alive for the people whom we share stories with about them. So the telling of stories about our dead, that's part of the keeping their spirits alive, and in essence, vanquishes death. And so the fear is gone.
Yeah.
And that's where the joy and the vibrancy and the
there's
music,
room for more other
that's where
emotions.
That celebration comes from.
Right.
It's not just because we're not mocking death simply because, you know, we're afraid of it, if you will, or we're neglecting it. No, we're digging we're diving into it and going, wait a minute, hang
Absolutely.
On a second.
Absolutely.
This vibration still remains. This spirit still remains close to me.
Well, amidst that celebration, you also have a pretty complex plot, or just a bit of a plot for Corrido Calavera. You want to tell us?
Yeah.
I mean, it is about a family.
Another honeymoon, a second honeymoon.
Well, they're starting their family. There you go.
They're about to
having troubles.
They have serious troubles in the relationship, and they, in order to actually try and alleviate some of those problems, they decide to go on a vacation and in turn end up driving off a cliff by listening to their GPS device, which, depending on your perspective, could be an instrument that led them in the right direction, essentially. You know, GPS GPSs are pretty common as far as, you know, technology is concerned. Everyone has one. Everyone uses them to get from one place to another. But the irony here is that it actually ends up driving them off a cliff. So some people may see that as a mistake
and
faulty technology. It's not faulty technology. But I am a believer of ghosts in the machine. And numerous people in the who are into the supernatural and all these things involving supernatural phenomena, you know, are actually pretty aware of the fact that, you know, there are those things that communicate to us, even through our machines. And it's possible that this GPS device
was fate.
Was a way for them, yes, to experience the next stage of
they
their life.
They went to their next stage, their right. next their path.
So they're having to confront the reality of being dead in the other world. But this echo of who they were is really transferring into this afterlife experience, which is really about them having to confront death and face the end of the material world. And a lot of what's said about the spiritual world is that we are all conscious entities who actually still remain in that form once the body is gone. And that consciousness is an energy. And in fact, once the body goes, that's all that's left. And that's just science, you know. I mean, it is. Energy is made up of consciousness. Consciousness is made up of energy. And we all share that. But when consciousness transcends the physical form, it sometimes has nowhere to go. And where does it go? And usually that explains the idea of ghosts who actually have no concept of that they're alive, that they're dead, but they have to face the reality of existing in this other realm. And usually, and this is another belief system, we don't have to go into that very much, there are people who actually help facilitate that transition.
And those ghosts sing and dance.
And yes. they do. And they're full of love and light. And then there are also those other forces that are built and keen on making sure that the material form is preserved.
Well, Lakeen, I have to get to that. A lot of your theater training actually virtually began. I mean, you used a lot of the techniques that you have learned probably since you were a child from Teatro Campesino. I mean, it really began when you were born into this family, this Luis Valdez.
Luis, yeah.
Luis Valdez, the founder of El Teatro Campesino, who made the film Zoot Suit and La Bamba. I mean, what's your earliest memory working with your family in theater?
I remember the first time I actually performed in a Teatro Campesino production was when I was about 7 years old.
7 years old?
You know,
okay.
I think I did have an experience performing before then, but I don't remember it. But this was the most vivid memory that I had. And it was part of a Christmas show that's performed annually and has been running for over 40 years now. And yeah, it's basically about the conflict between good and evil. You know, it's a Christmas show, and of course, there's two that rotate annually. And this one was called The Pastorella, which was made into a PBS movie by my father in 1991. And, you know, deals with the conflict of heaven. And I got to play one of these little devils.
No, you were a little devil.
Yeah.
Ah.
So I had these little horns. And, of course, my parents still have them, and they put them on this little mannequin head and display them in the living
room. Well, thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, it's they're really cute.
That's great.
I look at them, and I, of course, tempted to put it on my head, you know, a couple of years ago, and of course, like I probably could fit one little horn, you know, on the side of my head.
Well, so you were destined. You were destined to be in theater.
It was such an incredible blessing just to have had that experience growing up in a theater company made up of not only my own family, but also an extended family of artists, cousins, you know, friends of mine whose parents were essentially a part of the core group. And we all grew up together in this tight circle, which was really a strong community of artists who believed in the work that they were doing, who, you know, pretty much threw caution to the wind and decided to take all the risks that they could possibly take in order to just achieve a life in their artistry. And they actually managed to do a lot of incredible work for the first 10 years of the company. And then, of course, it took another turn, you know.
Well, then there were films, and as popularity grew,
Broadway.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody knows the roots of El Teatro Campesino. I'm going to briefly, forgive me for jumping in.
It may
be
easier for you to talk about it.
simply to say that Luis Valdez, inspired from his work with the San Francisco Mime Troupe, and also very deeply engaged in the farm workers movement, approached Cesar Chavez and said, I would like to dedicate my theater work to the cause, to la causa, in service of improving the circumstances of the farm workers through the formation of the UFW, through the strikes, through all of that. And so the work for the first 10 years, I would say, or maybe a little bit less, but I mean, the work continues, certainly. But the focus of the work was about engaging an audience, letting them know that they weren't alone in their struggles, letting them know that there were options, that there were ways to unify as a community and work together towards improving the everybody's circumstances. So it was really part of that whole agitprop movement that was very politically engaged and socially engaged for the betterment of society. And that's what the roots of this theater is, of the Teatro Campesino. And I believe that is the germ underneath all of your work and the work of the company as it continues forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, theater is a powerful tool, not only for personal expression, but social movements as well. You know, the mission of the company is evolved, you know, throughout the years, but primarily its purpose, its steadfast purpose was really to promote these ideas about La Causa, but also just to change reality, essentially, and it did. You know, it had a powerful impact on reality, mm-hmm. which is why, you know, the theater was known for what it's done, you know. And
are you old enough to remember working with Cesar Chavez?
No. This was really, actually,
it was way before you.
By the time I came along, you know, it was kind of transitioning into that next phase, you know, during the 80s, you know, the work of the company changed. And of course, I did get the opportunity to see Cesar and perform in front of Cesar and Dolores Huerta and a lot of the original strikers from that period, I think in 1986, as a young child, and along with members of the core company's children who were participating in several events. You know, this was just about 4 or 5 years before Cesar had passed. And of course, seeing him and then visiting him with my parents and you know, this was one of the last fasts, I think, in 1988, and being there by his side and seeing how weak he was, but just an incredible source of light and inspiration and just very centered. And
well, it's incredible to have you here in Portland and working with Milagro Theater. Corrido Calavera, a bilingual celebration of the Day of the Dead, runs October 17th through November 10th at Milagro Theater. And performances are Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. All shows are at El Centro Milagro, and that's located at 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. For tickets or more info, visit milagro.org. Or you can call 503-236-7253. That's 236-7253. We're running out of time, so I just want to thank you both, Joaquin Valdez and Olga Sanchez. Always a pleasure to have you here, and it's great to meet you, Joaquin, and it's great pleasure for you to be here on Stage and Studio and
thank
break
you,
legs.
Thank you
for
so
the
much.
Opening.
Hope we'll see you there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Really,
I mean, who
fun.
Would want to miss that?
No,
so,
it's going to be super
and we'll
fun.
Have you back to talk more about the rest of the season because you're
you.
Just doing incredible work
We're
at
happy.
Milagro.
We're happy.
Next up, Michelle Fuji, Artistic Director of Portland Taiko, checks in about making waves. But first, let's hear some music by their guest Taiko group. It's called Own Ensemble.
Thank you.
I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio, with that big sound from Own Ensemble. It's just so intriguing. You know what? I want to find out more about this group. So with me via phone is Portland Tycho's artistic director, Michelle Fuji. Michelle?
Yes.
Hello there.
Good morning.
Good big Tycho here, but it's unusual Tycho. Making Waves 2013 is your home concert of Tycho favorites, and it also features this Los Angeles group that we're listening to, Own Ensemble. And not to stereotype, Michelle, but to the Own Ensemble does not sound like, you know, I don't want to say typical Tycho, but it really doesn't sound like any kind of Tycho that I've heard before.
Yes, Own Ensemble is a very unique Tycho group emerging from Los Angeles, and they are comprised of what you might call sort of the second generation, the Tycho players that learned from the pioneers of North American Tycho, and wanting to take it and emerge it into a new expression. They really express themselves through the sound of Tycho and challenge that in multiple ways, and so they definitely go into a lot of new sound landscapes.
Well, some of the new sound landscapes include hip-hop, rock, and electronica. Mm-hmm. And I suspect, now you will tell me if I'm incorrect about this, but it's quite unusual for Tycho groups. I mean, aren't most Tycho groups really traditional?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that a lot of Tycho groups, especially here in the United States, really reflect sort of that power and unity of playing all together, more of a single sound source than multi-layered. Own Ensemble really defies that in that they really bring in other oral qualities. They also, I would say, infuse other cultural instruments, including the koto, which is a 13-string zither. Sometimes they DJ with their own electronica music, and so you never know what they're going to be bringing with their sound.
So what made you want to bring them to Portland?
Well, Own Ensemble is sort of a bit of a reunion for me personally.
Did you used to work with them?
Yes, I did, actually, before working with Portland Tycho, and I was there at the beginning inceptions of creating the group and really figuring out what we were trying to express. We were just at that point, a quartet of us that were excited about thinking of new expressions for the art form. And I feel really honored and lucky that I was working with them at a personally developmental time to give me that courage then to actually come here to Portland Tycho and continue my work with movement and Tycho.
Well, see, and now I hear some of the roots of some of the more experimental individual shows and also Insatiable that you did earlier this year. I mean, now I can see some of the roots by hearing some of this music and hearing you talk about being one of the members of Own Ensemble.
Absolutely. I think that at the time where we were all just sort of figuring our lives out, even though our expression or our way of deciding to express might be using different platforms, the idea of exploring the art form and really looking at new creative ways to express was at the forefront of all of our minds.
So this concert, this Making Waves 2013 concert, actually combines a lot of this newer work with going in some of the pieces that Tycho is known for.
Absolutely. I think in both of our halves, because within Portland Tycho, we have that community power. In addition, with Own Ensemble, we all have come from that idea of expressing together. And so even within there there's some Kumi Daiko songs or Ensemble Tycho songs that people might consider or label as traditional, in addition to some of our newer contemporary works.
Well, what are some of those pieces that we might recognize for those of us who have been Tycho fans for years?
In regards to Portland Tycho set, we are going to, of course, do a piece called That Piece. It's a teamwork, a major teamwork to come together and do the choreography with that song, and it really celebrates the body movement alongside with the sound, and the full company will be playing that.
The full company, how many people is that?
There'll be a dozen of us for this performance.
Big drums, big sound.
Exactly. So big drums, big sound all together. If anyone is familiar with, for instance, our theatrical work in the past, I'm going to be doing one piece extracted from Insatiable this past March. It's a duet that I choreographed with my husband and co-worker, Toru Watanabe, called Zutto Starire, which means stuck together forever. And
I really love that show, by the way, and I love that piece.
Thank you so much.
So this is the last home concert for Portland Taiko for a while.
Yeah, this is, we sort of go on an annual calendar, so we're ending our season.
So you're really ending your season with Making Waves, then.
Absolutely, even though it's a little bit atypical with the scheduling of other arts companies.
Well, you know, it's a calendar year for you. So what's in the future? Are you planning, or what are you thinking of for next year?
Yes, well, next year is our 20th anniversary, so we are going to celebrate quite a milestone of history. And we're thinking creatively about it. One of the things is a collaboration that we have been in the works for the past 2 years with Sojourn Theater. And really thinking of community conscious work alongside with combining taiko and theater together in a project called I Am Memory, which really talks about school as an entry point for creating the memories that might define your identity for the rest of your life.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Sounds exciting. Portland Taiko presents Classic Taiko of Rhythm, Movement, and Melody, and that's Making Waves 2013. And also featured is Own Ensemble, Los Angeles-based taiko group that fuses hip-hop, rock, and electronica. Making Waves performs two shows only, Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, October 13th at 2 p.m. Both shows are at the Aladdin Theater at 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. For more info, visit portlandtaiko.org or call 503-288-2456. That's 288-2456. Michelle Fuji, Portland Taiko, thank you for joining us today, and have a great concert.
Thank you so much.
You take care.
Okay.
Before we go today, the Pulp Stage Theater Company presents Chillers, a collection of 8 plays using just dialogue. The Chillers performance is at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 17th at the Jack London Bar. That's the basement of the Rialto Pool Room, located at 525 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. Pulp Stage is doing that with plays that involve vampires, psychics, wolves, ghosts, and more. So for more info, visit their site at pulpstage.weebly.com. KBOO's having a benefit movie night, and it's a collection of surrealistic films and cartoons from the collection of archivist Dennis Nyback, and he'll be playing these priceless silent films on the big screen, and you can bring your instruments to accompany the films. And that's Thursday, October 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, and that's at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. And the admission price is actually a benefit for KBOO. You can get them at dada.brownpapertickets.com. And you can get a pair of tickets now for the first caller at 503-231-8032, 231-8032. That's it for Stage and Studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from STG, presenting Passion Pit with the Joy Formidable, Saturday, October 19th at the Theater of the Clouds at Moda Center. Tickets for Passion Pit on October 19th are available now at rosequarter.com.
Dada, dada, dada day. Thursday. Come one, come all to the Clinton Street Theater this Thursday for an evening of Dada film and music. We'll be playing surrealist silent films and cartoons, and the soundtrack will be provided by you, the audience. So bring your favorite musical instrument, kitchen implement, speak and spell, tantric bell, hot keys, or tchotchkes. to the Clinton Street Theater, Southeast Clinton and 26th Avenue in Portland, this Thursday, October 10th at 7 p.m. Tickets available at brownpapertickets.com. All proceeds benefit your community radio station, KBOO. Thursday, Dada, Clinton Street, KBOO. At least the haggis arrived at a reasonable hour.
Stay tuned for Stage and Studio with host Ava Lake. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon College of Art and Crafts Studio School, offering classes and workshops for adults in book arts, ceramics, drawing and painting, fibers, metals, photography, and wood. www.ocac.edu/register.
Hi there. My name is Ava Lake, and actually you're listening to Art Focus. And this is the show where we talk about art here at KBOO. And today I have a guest that, well, she's been here a couple of times before, at least once with me, Diane Durston. Thanks so much for joining me, Diane.
Thank you, Ava.
So she is the curator at the Japanese Garden here in Portland, which is considered by most people to be the greatest Japanese garden outside of Japan. And who knows, maybe the greatest in the world, right? That is up for discussion, no?
Could be.
But they also have so many things at that garden. It's fantastic. One of the great things that they have is an ongoing exhibition schedule, which will probably grow as the years go on. And the show that they have up right now is called A Distant View. And it's the porcelain sculpture of Sue Harumi Fukami. Did I say it